So Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 16, and we're starting at the end of verse 5. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. This is God's word.
I need to start with an apology to Zach because I thought you were going to be upstairs. So the title of my talk, if it can come up on the screen, says Message for David, brackets, and Zach. But I'm delighted I can give it to both Zach and David. And it also says, all being well when it appears, message to David and Zach and all of us. So hopefully this is something which speaks to us all, not just to those who have been baptized. Seeing Zach baptized brought back memories for me. I was baptized when I was in my first year at secondary school as well. So that was my experience. And so those of you who worry, well, is 11, 12 quite young to be baptized? On the one hand, the answer is yes. And on the other hand, the answer is, God looks after us and keeps us going. And so it's not through your strength, Zach, that you'll make it to 62 or beyond, but it's through the strength of the Lord, and that's there. But the reason I wanted to speak also to David is I've chosen David's verses, the ones I read out to him, as what I'm going to talk about today. And I do pray that this talk will be useful to us all. And I think all of us fall into one of these three categories. So, first of all, I think those who follow Jesus and have already been baptized. And I pray that this talk might remind us of what God has done for us and what he calls us to do for him. Then there are those of us who do follow Jesus, but have not yet been baptized. And don't think I'm getting at you, but I probably am, because you've got two great opportunities coming up to sort that out. If you're a believer and you're not yet baptized, then here's the invitation. February the 18th, and we've already got Matt and Anka being baptized that day, and then Easter Day and Nadia being baptized. So we've got two dates in the diary. You can't even say you can't make that day, because probably you can make the other day. So if you are a Christian, but you're not yet baptized, well, do something about it, please. Great opportunity. And then there's the third category of you who might look and say, what on earth is going on in this place? Why on earth did David and Zach make such fools of themselves today? And did we all go along with it and give them a cheer and a round of applause? And I hope this talk might say something to you about why we did that as well. So here we go. What actually just happened? What did we see happen? Well, I'm going to start by saying what didn't happen. It wasn't the beginning. Zach became a Christian when he was 6, I think you said in your testimony. David became a Christian 2 years ago. So whatever this was about, it wasn't the beginning of the Christian life for either of them, okay? Nor does it mean, and this is important to tell you, it doesn't mean you're now qualified or arrived. I have to tell you, I do give you a certificate. It's quite interesting that you get a certificate saying you were baptized. I'll give that to you afterwards. But it doesn't mean you're qualified or arrived, okay? That's not what it means. If you think that, we're in serious trouble, and so are you. And it certainly isn't the end. It doesn't mean you're about to drop dead now. You've made it over the line. It certainly isn't the end. But what it is a really important step on the road of faith. If you follow Jesus, then it's great to take that step and get baptized. It's an important step. It marks something publicly, which is really, really important. And you shared that with us all today, which has been great. It is in obedience to what Jesus asked all his followers to do, and it's telling all of us what's happened in your life. But the verse I gave to David, and sorry, Zach, we're focusing on this one. Dear friends, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. And one of the things I want to say about this verse is that it could actually lead you to a wrong conclusion. And you might wonder, therefore, why I chose to preach on it, if it could confuse you. See, if we just read the bit that said, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, it might sound like I'm saying, well, there's things you've got to do if you're going to become a Christian. You've got to get baptized. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. Fear and trembling is involved. So why did I choose a verse that could be confusing and then tell you that no, baptism doesn't save you? We can't earn God's love. That's one of the things that David and Zach know and accept. And it's a fantastic message that we share. It's really good, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute, to work hard to follow God, but there's nothing we can do to save ourselves or to earn his love. In fact, his good news is that it's a free gift to each one of us. It's not about what we do. It's not about which family we've been born in. It's about saying that we come to the Lord Jesus and we say, we know we can't save ourselves, but we know you have done everything necessary that we can be rescued by you and come into your family. There's a word, a technical word that we often use, and it's the word grace. And grace means something that you don't deserve, but is given as a wonderful gift, undeserved favor. And this was a nice little thing here, God's riches at Christ's expense. Don't know if that helps you or not, but it's a lovely word. The idea is that we come by grace. There's that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace, amazing, undeserved attention of God for us. God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have God's rescue plan, eternal life, relationship with him. So when I read that verse, and the verse says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, I'm not saying to Zach or to David or to any of us that there's stuff you need to do to qualify to become a Christian. That's not what I'm saying, because it's all about the grace of the Lord Jesus. In fact, in David's testimony, he talked about his weakness. He talked about being at his lowest point. In one sense, he could do nothing, and God broke into his life. And in Romans, it tells us that when we were helpless, at the right time, God acted through Jesus to rescue us. And that's the message. It's at our point of weakness that God can reach out to us. So what did happen then? If it's not about doing something to qualify, what did happen? Well, I think what happened was something like this. It's kind of a picture that might help you. It was a public announcement that you have been adopted as children of God. You already have become that, but publicly you're telling people, I've been adopted. I'm a child of God. In the reading that Rachie read to us, it goes on to talk about children of God in exactly this way. And each person who knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have been adopted into God's family. We're part of God's family. Many of you know this picture. This is Dan and Jody, who are missionaries from our church in Uganda, and they've adopted Myron. Not quite finished the process yet, but soon I hope we're going to get a thrilling announcement that says, here, he is adopted. He's forever in our family. Well, what baptism, if you like, is saying, look, publicly I'm telling people I am part of God's family. I'm a child of God through what God has done for me. And it goes on to say as well that not just that you are part of the family, but you intend to work at living to make your heavenly Father proud of you. If a child is adopted, then of course they also start to adapt to that family and to change and to become like that family. And it's quite interesting sometimes when you meet someone who's been adopted, how they pick up all the mannerisms of their parents. And clearly that's because they've been living with them and so on. And it's a wonderful thing when you see an adopted child becoming part of the family. And that is what I hope, Zach and David, you are saying. Not just that you are publicly announcing you're a child of God, but you are going to work at being, making your Father proud of you. And I don't mean John in this case. I mean your loving Heavenly Father. And of course, the other side of it is if you're adopted and you're a child, there's lots of stuff you can't do for yourself. But you know that what you can do is trust your loving Heavenly Father to look after you. So I hope that picture helps, that in one sense this is a picture marking the fact publicly that you've been adopted. You're part of the family, which is great. This is the verse. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Now, what does it mean then to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Now, here's a fairly scary picture. This wonderful specimen of humanity you see in front of you on the stage is achieved through this sort of desperate work here. Now, I'm thinking of introducing the middle one as a prayer position for our church, okay? So, but you know what it is to work out. And the reason I work out, especially at my age of life, is that as I get, my metabolism slows down, I put on the inches around here. And I can tell you there's going to be some fear and trembling this Wednesday at 5 o'clock when I get to the gym, because I haven't been for 3 weeks. So it's going to be agony, okay? But you go through this stuff because there are things that you do that build your strength. I know, David, you play football regularly on a Thursday night with many others who are here. And that activity, as does John, of course, and that activity is about staying fit and building yourself up. And so I think when it says continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, one of the things it's telling us is that actually we need to put effort into being a Christian. Being a Christian isn't just, God's done everything to make us a Christian, but the going on involves effort. It involves fear and trembling, hard work and a sense of knowing who it is we're dealing with. The great news is that we are not asked to live the Christian life in our own strength. One of the things that David said in his testimony that really struck me was that as, and I would echo this absolutely, I understand what he's saying here, as a male in our culture, he had a sense of he had the authority. He was the one that had to be able to set the lead, to be self-sufficient and so on. And one of the hardest things I would suggest about becoming a Christian is that particularly for us men, we have to say, actually, we do no longer have the authority. We are not the ones who are self-sufficient. We can do it all. But rather, we come the other way around and we say, we need you, God, and we need you to work in our lives. But the verse I shared with David was this. It is God who works in us. It's not that we have to do it ourselves. And as David shared, and as I prayed at the beginning part of the service as well, what's so important is that we rely upon God's Holy Spirit, which is promised to all who believe in him. And it is when we are filled with the Spirit, indwelt with the Spirit, that God starts to transform our lives and make us able to follow him. So we need to work at being a Christian, but he's done everything necessary, and he gives us the strength to be a Christian. And so continuing to work out, well, what does that involve? It involves taking on the book that terrified David. Getting, not because it's a book. We don't study the Bible because we want to be literature experts, but we study the Bible because it's the living word of God. And one of the things as a leadership team we want to encourage people this year to do is to try to find 15 minutes each day to sit down, to read God's word, and to pray about it. 15 minutes doesn't sound too long. Does it? A cup of tea, a cup of coffee length time. But if each of us did that each day or more, of course, that would be brilliant. We need to pray to actually not just listen to God through his word, but talk to God and listen to him as we pray to him. And we need to meet together as with his people, because meeting together is a way that we encourage each other and we grow. Some of you will know that people sometimes wear a that says, what would WWJD, what would Jesus do? Or Rashi has a variation, I think, what would Jesus have us do, have me do? Okay. Well, I've got another one here that I think should be on a bangle. Okay. This is why I'm going for this one, all right? And this is, does anyone know what this one is? Don't shout it out. Put your hand up if you know. One or two, I think one or two do know. Okay. I have mentioned it before, and this is one that's very appropriate to me. A bit like Zach, I became a Christian when I was very young. So what that meant was all the times I let God down and all my failures and all my sin happened after I became a Christian. And that's really quite a hard thing to cope with at times. And David, I'm sure, unfortunately, you will sin again and so on in your post. But you'll know that it's been a change. But if you've been brought up like I was, like you are, Zach, in a loving Christian home, sometimes it can be quite difficult. And this is a really helpful one because it stands for this. Please be patient with me. God hasn't finished with me yet. Please be patient with me. God hasn't finished with me yet. Do you know this sort of thing here, this phrase? I've started, so I'll finish, the famous mastermind chair. Well, the great news is that God says in this book of Philippians, I've started the work in you, so I'm going to finish it. God, who began a good work in David, in Zach, in those of us who have come to know him as our Lord, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And someone who's being baptized in February, he was reading a verse in Ephesians where it talks about we are God's workmanship. And in his version of the Bible, it said we are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. Each one of us is a masterpiece that God is working in. If you are an adopted child of God, he is working in you. And the promise to Zach and to David and to us all is that he will carry on that work until the day when it is completed. Whether that's when we die and go to be with him, or whether it is when Jesus returns. And that is the promise, that he is the one who is working in us, and he's not going to stop until he's completed his masterpiece that he is working in each one of us. Dear friends, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Amen.